It's time for the Packer Outright Opinion Show with the Hafman Brothers. These brothers grew up in Packer country and are passionate, lifelong Packers fans. They tell it like they see it, keep things informative and entertaining, and have some fun along the way.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bring your questions and comments and enjoy your time with the Hafman Brothers.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Welcome in, everybody. We're back. It is the Packer Outright Opinion Show with the Hafman Bros. And tonight, Viking Mo. So that's a little bit later when we talk about the upcoming game with the Vikings. But we have, last week, we took the week off from the radio show. Today, though, we are back. And Ben, what do we have to talk about? Another Packer victory. Was it 4 or 5 weeks ago? I don't know. Somebody on this show said, you know, the Packers were going to make the playoffs and just get back into this thing. Everybody told me I was crazy and all this stuff. Well, what do you think now? What do you think now, bro?
I really don't care.
All right. Well, what does Evan think? Evan, how are you?
It was great, man. You know, I've never had so much fun. I've never derived so much pleasure from the sports in my entire life. You know, get those points, boys. You know, get after him.
We're turning Evan into a semi-follower of at least Green Bay Packers.
And it hurts. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'm conflicted week by week. You know, part of me enjoys the Schadenfreude. You know, it's just sort of like a holy retribution to see him suffer, right? And the other time, they're our team, you know?
Yeah.
Go Pack.
They are our team. Yeah. And there's a lot of good stuff on this team. We're going to talk about it tonight. We got to bust some myths first. We got to cover some ground. Ben, can you tell people why the Packers beat the Dolphins last week? Why did they win?
Well, apparently Tua got a concussion late in the second quarter and couldn't figure out who was wearing white and who was wearing turquoise and threw to a bunch of Packers and we got lucky. So now Packer fans like you and not me are being stupid and being, oh, we got a chance. To make the playoffs. We're going to be good. And then Jair,
when they asked
him about the play after the game, they said, Jair, what happened on that interception? He's like, well, I saw Tyreek Hill and he was really fast. So I was like, I'm not going to cover him. I'm just going to stand here. And then Tua's going to throw it right to me. And he did. And then I picked it off and ran. And now that happened, he thinks all of a sudden now he can somehow stop Justin Jefferson.
We'll get to that.
From doing good things. So even Jair is delusional, like the rest of the Packer fans out there who are delusional. You're all delusional.
I did not say they were going to win the Super Bowl. I said they were going to find a way to win because the way the schedule worked for them, and I also saw the schedule for the other teams, and I just said these other teams are going to lose games. The Packers are going to win these games. And they're going to find their way into the playoffs. And that's how it's going to be. And it's shaping up to be just what I said. Now, we'll see. The Vikings. We'll see if they're pretenders or not. I kind of think they are. But we'll talk to Viking Mo. We'll hear from Jair Alexander exactly what he said. And we'll hear what Viking Mo thinks about that, too, in the second half of the show. But the correct answer, the answer we were going for. Hey, David, how are you? David's in the stream. The correct answer is the defense. This defense that everybody has given a bunch of crap to all over and over and over again, and we hear it all the time. Oh, man. The defense shut out the Dolphins in the second half. This is results, right? Doesn't matter how it happened. They shut them out in the second half. Number two, they got 4 turnovers in the game. 4! And 3 interceptions in the fourth quarter on Miami's last 3 drives. That's how the Packers won this game. They did not win this game because of their $50 million a year quarterback. They did not win this game because they played good offense, even though they scored 26 points. They should have scored many, 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 many more points. And there's a couple of reasons why, and it goes back to things I've been saying for weeks, and we've been saying for weeks. But they won the game. Bottom line, they're 7-8. So they have a chance. They have a realistic chance. The last 2 games at home and Green Bay, all they got to do is beat the Vikings, which are kind of, they're 12-3, but by the skin of their teeth. And then beat the Lions in the last game. And if it's nice and cold in Green Bay in the last game of the year, which it should be, it'll get out of this kind of warm-up that we've had. This Sunday's game is not going to be that impacted by the weather. But it'll probably turn in a week, and then the Lions will be in rough shape because Jared Goff really struggles in the cold. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's recap what happened here. I got some information from this last game for you, Ben. The Packers, what did I say? What have we seen this whole season long, right? When they're balanced or they feature the run, they do well. Other games that they've lost, almost every game they've lost, they passed basically twice as much as they've run in those games. This particular game, they did not follow the good script. They ran the ball five times in the first half. Five times. That's it. And they had a bunch of plays and a bunch of possessions. And in this game, total, they had 38 passing attempts by Aaron Rodgers, except he actually had 43 passing attempts because five of his rushing attempts were off of scrambles after he didn't throw to anybody.
He had a quarterback sneak.
So I know. He had seven total carries in this game. We'll get to that in a second. So 43 basically pass plays that they ran versus 17 runs for A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. That is not a winning formula. And the only way you win that game is with four turnovers by the other team. So here's what the Packers have shown you over the years. Just to refresh, it's painful memory. Sorry, everybody. But here's the painful memory. When you get to the playoffs, you can't count on other teams to be dumb and turn the ball over and give you a bunch of turnovers. Right? You can't count on that against good teams. You can count on that against a team that's not that good, like Miami. But this is not going to win in the playoffs. What is going to win is featuring the run, is being balanced. And there are a couple examples of that to display.
A little tick.
We'll get into a couple things. We're going to have silent but deadly players. We're going to have oh yeah plays. It made us excited. But we got to cover this off the top so we clear it up for everybody so it's straight. Okay? Here are some things from the game. Packers, second drive. Pass, run, seven straight passes. Second drive of the game where their offense was stinky. Third drive of the game. One run, three passes, and a turnover on downs. One run, three passes, turnover on downs. Fourth drive of the game, pass, 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 punt. This was all in the first half. The opening drive of the second half for this offense, because they're the part of this team that needs to pick it up even more. Second half of the drive, or the second half of the first half of the second, first drive of the second half, let me get it straight. Seven runs, four passes, 7:07 off the clock, and a touchdown drive, 78-yard touchdown drive. Then their next drive, they get the ball back. One run, five passes, and it ends in an interception. Third drive of the second half, first and 10 at the Miami 14. Set up by that interception by Jair Alexander, right at the 14-yard line of Miami. The Packers run it one time in six plays. One run, five passes, they gain 4 yards, they kick a field goal. On drives that they run the ball, they score. They move the ball. On drives that they pass, 5-1 ratio, pass to run, or worse, they don't move the ball and they don't score, or they score because they were set up at the 14-yard line. So I don't know how hard it is for the coaches and the team and the quarterback and everybody to figure it out, but be balanced, run the freaking ball, and this offense can be productive and you can win games. If they do that against the Vikings, they certainly have a good chance to win. If they don't do that against the Vikings, they certainly have a good chance to lose. That's bottom line. I've been saying it for weeks. I've been saying it for weeks. I don't know why they don't get it. Now, Miami also proved it. They did the same dumb thing, right? Because in the first half, Miami ran the ball 12 times. In the second half, they only ran the ball 7 times. And just a heads up, Dolphins, all of those 3 interceptions in the fourth quarter would not have been possible if you would have been running the ball. They wouldn't have happened. But Miami abandoned the run for some inexplicable reason when they were in a game where they either had the lead or it was tied 20-20 or they were down 23-20. They kept just throwing it. What do NFL teams have to do, my brother, to figure out that you should run the ball to win? And if you don't run the ball, you have a much lower percentage of a chance of winning the game.
I don't know, but it doesn't matter. Like, all your stats mean nothing. They mean nothing because we have a quarterback who wants to throw the ball.
Well, yeah, it's true.
We have quarterback who wants to be the superhero.
He does.
Do you know that on the fourth down and two play where he chucks up a 40-yard bomb to Christian Watson and overthrows him by a million yards? Do you know
only
that there
five.
Was
only 5 yards? Come on,
whatever. There was also two other receivers on routes on that play, fourth and two. The other two guys, the tight end and the running back, stayed in and blocked. Do you know what those other two guys were doing? Take a guess.
Waving their arms, jumping up and down?
No, they were covered and they were running straight 20, 30 yards downfield.
Oh,
smart. On fourth and two, every and two. Single receiver, I watched the alt 22 the other day. All three receivers that went out all went deep. And the Packers max protected on fourth and two. Instead of just running route combinations to get the first down on fourth and two, they went for it all. Now, I don't know if that was Matt LaFleur's play call or if that was the Aaron Rodgers change it up at the line of scrimmage to everybody go deep. excuse me. But either way, it was dumb. So either our head coach is a moron or our quarterback is also a moron who wants to be a superhero. Either way, we are going to lose. It doesn't matter if we make the playoffs. Doesn't matter if we beat the Vikings. Doesn't matter if we beat the Lions. Doesn't matter if Washington loses one game. Because as soon as we play a team like the 49ers or the Eagles or with half a brain, they will run the ball at us, which we cannot stop. And then our quarterback will chuck, and we will get incompletions and punt the ball or throw picks or do something stupid or get in the red zone and pass, and kick a field goal, and that won't be enough to beat anybody. So go ahead and be all excited if you want. I will not be excited.
Period. I'm not necessarily excited that the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl. I'm just excited that I might be right and they might make the playoffs. My prediction might come true. We'll be back. We'll talk about happier things on the other side. Be back in a minute.
Your lack of faith disturbing.
Time to talk about, yes. We went through it. What I told you is legit. The formula for the Packers to win is to be balanced, to use a 28-33, to not have Aaron Rodgers throw it so much. That is the formula for winning. Unless you get four turnovers, then you might win. But this is the fun stuff. The Packers still won the game. There were still really good performances. There's also a really exciting signing this week. Holy cow, we'll get to that too in a second. But first off, Evan, cue him up. When you get him ready, give me the thumbs up. Because it is time to get excited and talk about our silent but deadly player from this week. Roll it.
And now it's time for the Hafeman Bros silent but deadly player of the week.
My brother, who is your silent but deadly player from the game against Miami?
My silent but deadly player is a player who I have said stinks. Is a player I've said is terrible. Is a player I've said is complete garbage. However, I've also said his best position is right tackle. And all offseason I said they should be playing him at right tackle and backing up at right tackle. But they keep wanting to play a guard, and they started him at guard at the beginning of the year, and he stunk it up the joint. And then in this game, he had to come in because of an injury, and he got called for a holding, which was a bullcrap call. I thought it was fine. I mean, I watched that doesn't look any different than most other people do. But they call holding on him. But my silent but deadly player is Royce Newman. Royce Newman came in the game and played dang well at right tackle, going up against the best pass rusher on the Dolphins, and he shut him down. Royce Newman, with his quick feet was able to do very good in pass protection. He did pretty decent. I was impressed with a guy who I've never been impressed with before in my life. So I'm going to give my silent but deadly player to Royce Newman.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Royce Newman has never gotten a Farkin salute in our show. Here you go, Royce. From Ben. Wow. Impressive. My silent but deadly player was actually, he's kind of a noisy player in the game in a way, but he plays a very silent position. You know, I thought about Mason Crosby because he made four field goals and they needed him and all that, but I got to give it to Jaron Reed. Jaron Reed had six tackles from a D-line spot. He forced the fumble that helped really turn the game around, get him a score, stop a drive by Miami. Like, Jaron Reed plays a silent position, but he was noisy this week and he played awesome. And Jaron Reed is my silent but deadly player of the week. Congratulations, Jaron Reed, who we may have thought might be possible. And Royce Newman, totally didn't see that one. That was out from left field. Unbelievable. All right, let's get to the, oh yeah, it's time for oh yeah plays of the game. Oh yeah, let's do it. Ben, you get to go first again. What was your oh yeah play from this game?
Oh yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, when the Packers kicked the field goal, only beat up by six, I thought, there is no chance. We're totally going to lose this game. Dolphins are for sure going to go down and score and win.
No faith.
And then my guy, Rasul Douglas, who is not very fast, but he's real smart, tricked the guy with a concussion into throwing him an interception because he looked like he was covering Tyreek Hill and then jumped off it and covered the tight end instead and got the ball thrown right to him and saved the game. And the best part was, instead of running around like a dummy, he just went straight down. Or the week before, when he got a pick, he tried that lateral, and that was like really dumb. So he was really smart, and I went, oh yeah, we got the win. Thank you, Rasul. Yes.
Hey, that was close for me too, but I have to give it myself. We'll give that a Farkin salute, Rasul. My oh yeah play from this game was the first time a Packer touched the ball. Keyshawn Nixon. My goodness. Can we sign that man for like 4 or 5 years, please? Can we just, like, he almost took the kick all the way to the house. Packers should have scored a touchdown as he set him up at the 4-yard line. Somehow they only got 3 points out of it. Oh, wait, how was that? Oh, yeah, we passed him, did some dumb stuff, took a big sack, and couldn't throw the ball away, didn't know where we were. Anyway, Keyshawn Nixon, that ain't your fault, buddy. You ran it almost into the end zone for him, and that was my oh, yeah play from this game. Keyshawn Nixon, yeah! Best kick returner in the NFL. All right. Now on to the last bit of exciting news. It ties in with the rookies. We got to get into this before the break. Ben, who did the Packers sign this week?
They signed our guy. The guy we talked about. One of the guys we were hoping they'd draft later on in the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th round. They never did. And he got drafted in the 7th round.
By the Seahawks.
And he sat on the practice squad of the Seahawks all season. And we could have easily signed him all season long. Why they waited until week 16, 17 to sign the guy, I don't know. But Bo Melton is a speed, agility type player who could be a very, very good replacement for Randall Cobb in the slot, as well as a good kick returner with speed and quickness. So he's about as fast as Christian Watson, but he's got way more wiggle. But he's also pretty small. He's like 190 pounds or 185 pounds or something. So he's not the biggest guy.
Yep.
But he's got some agility, and you want to see some two guys out there. Either one of them could take an end around all the way to the house because of their speed. So we got some serious speed. If I think, like somebody said, this is a build for next season. This is a good signing by the Packers. They could sign him to a futures deal, keep him on the active roster. Smart move by Goody to pick him up right before the end of the year.
Yeah. I mean, and the fact he dropped to the 7th round blew me away because he ran the 5th fastest 40 time of any player that was drafted at the NFL Combine of the wide receivers. 4.34 seconds 40-yard dash at the Combine. He trained with Christian Watson in the offseason and was like, man, I'm fast. Christian is a little bit faster than me, but he was still running 4.3. 4.34, 4.32, 4.33. Bo Melton. He's 5'11, 189, tore it up at Rutgers. A smart dude, really smart. Jason Vrabel said how smart he is. They're excited to have him there. And yes, he is a guy I wanted the Packers to draft. And it's more proof. More proof that what, Ben? Somebody inside the Packers organization watches our show or listens to our show on the radio because they keep eventually doing and finding these guys that we're talking about, these little diamonds in the rough, and they do the move. They got Bo Melton this week, another fast guy. And that now, Ben, is 4 rookie wide receivers that should be on this team for the next several years. What a crew that could be. That could be amazing if you get a quarterback that wants to throw it to him, not make the game too hard for those young guys.
Well, it's going to be tough because our quarterback is a big, fat target with money, and it's going to be hard to unload him and or move on from him so we can get a quarterback who will actually throw the ball to these receivers on a quick slant and let them use their speed to take the ball. Our quarterback now wants to throw the 45-yard bomb to them instead of letting them use their speed to take it all the way to the house.
Can't blame the wideouts. These young guys are exciting. We'll be back and talk with Viking Mo. Some ribbing ahead.
Rebellions are built on hope.
They have a cave troll.
You have failed me for the last time.
R-E-L-A-X.
All right, we're back here, Packer Outright Opinion Show. You know our lead-ins. It's got to be some good rock music, some tunes. We know Viking Mo is hanging on the line. We'll bring him on the show in just a little bit. But yeah, enjoy your wins, Viking fans. Enjoy the season. 12-3 is nothing to sneeze at. Doesn't matter if you've just set a record for 11 one-score wins, the most one-score wins. What does it tell you about your team? It tells you you're playing some close games, but you want them. And there's something to be said about that, winning games. Matt LaFleur says it every week. Winning is hard in this league, Ben. So if you win them, nothing to be ashamed of there. Take your wins.
That's right.
What you should do is don't listen to Jair Alexander's comments. Don't worry about that. That guy is crazy. Viking Mo.
He is crazy.
Let's bring him on the show, Evan. We got some Viking Mo. Bring him on the show. And we got to play some sound for Viking Mo because I know he really wants to hear this sound too. Viking Mo, are you there?
Yep.
Oh, my. Yep. Viking Mo. Tell people right now, Viking fans, we got some people in the chat. They're tired of people saying this team's not that good or hearing all this stuff or hearing about Dallas kicking your butt or whatever it is. Viking Mo, what's your perspective here of this Viking season so far?
Yeah, it's interesting what, you know, the media and other experts and so-called experts are saying. And I mean, 12 wins is still 12 wins, like you kind of alluded to. I think some people say, well, they got lucky. And one different spin maybe is that, well, maybe they've gotten just unlucky to the point where they still were able to squeak it out. But I think it's an interesting team because I feel like they, when in crunch time, they've played their best. And they certainly have not really done that for a full four quarters. But in crunch time, they have. Someone like Kirk Cousins, like you mentioned, he leads the league in fourth quarter comebacks. He actually ties the NFL record for most comebacks in a season. Has a chance to break that record as well. He has the most passing yards and touchdown passes in the fourth quarter than anyone in the league. He has the most passing yards and touchdowns than any other quarterback in the NFC. So there's obviously good things that are happening. The question mark, and I think the eye test, is that people see the leaky defense, especially in the passing game, and it's going to obviously keep other teams in the game when they're having those things, and that's why you're getting these close games. But you can't say that they aren't battle-tested. And I think one other spin I'll just add to is that they've played the 10th toughest schedule in terms of strength of schedule, whereas a team like the 49ers has had the easiest schedule in the league and the Eagles have had the third easiest schedule in the league. So, and I'm not saying, no one's saying that they're posers or they're fake or not real or a fluke, if you will. But you can certainly say they're battle-tested and that will only help come playoff time.
Maybe. I mean, Mo, we went through this as Packer fans in 2019 where our team was considered the most fraudulent team. So I'm glad the Vikings could take that mantle away from us. Thank you for that. But also, when we got to the playoffs, we had a problem where we had a certain guy on our team who just didn't show up for the NFC Championship game. He just wasn't ready. And now he's on your team. What do you think about that? Your big Pro Bowl player you guys signed away from the Pack. Is he going to be ready when the chips are down to show up in the playoffs this time? Because he never did for the Packers the entire time he was a Packer.
I guess, you know, we'll have to see. I know you, and maybe he misspoke after that game saying he wasn't ready. I mean, I don't know how you don't get ready for a playoff game, but
he said it clear as day he wasn't ready to play.
I know he's bad choice of words, kind of like Jair's Luke's comment, but I think it's something that you obviously hope that they're up and ready to play. And, you know, maybe the culture is different here. Maybe how he feels Maybe he feels a little more massaged here, and maybe just feels better about how he's being treated here. Maybe not, but we'll see. He's played well. He had a couple of games where he disappeared, but he's overall played well. Double digit sacks along with Hunter, and I think Zaire. Sorry, Zadarius is the least of my concerns.
Defense. All right, Viking Mo, he should definitely not be the least of your concerns. I have watched the last couple of Viking games snap to snap, like game the whole game, and Zadarius is getting handled. Zadarius is put in the position to do the most damage because they move him around, they run stunts for him. He gets to go up against guards, he gets to go up against interior guys, and he has been handled one-on-one a bunch of times in those games. He has barely went the whole Lions game not recording a single stat. He also went the last game not really doing much at all, and I saw him on the ground a bunch of times. So I would put him high in your priority list for concerns with the Vikings defense, but that's okay. Let's move on to our concerns because it's our show. And Evan, if you have the sound, this is a concern. This guy gets paid a lot of money and he plays okay, not great, sometimes good, sometimes he's very inconsistent for being paid as much as he is. And then he says a lot of dumb things. He talks trash and he says dumb things like he just said this week.
Don't jump in no super suit and get dressed and jump out high, you know what I mean? I don't either sometimes. But, you know, like he human is what I'm saying. So, like, it ain't, you know, we ain't putting too much onus on nobody. He's a really good receiver by the end of the day. I'm a really good corner. We got really good corners. We got really good, you know, linebackers. So, hey, D-line, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, you don't want to put too much focus on that one person because, like, on film, you know, first game, that was a fluke.
Oh, yeah.
Can I just say something real quick?
Please,
I read that
something.
Quote. It was much easier to read that quote than it is to hear it. I couldn't understand half the things the guy said. But what I will say is this. He's delusional. He got a pick thrown right to him. He has no idea what he's talking about. The Vikings have a chance to get Justin Jefferson at 2,000 yards receiving this season and with the last two games of the year here, and they're going to feed him the ball and feed him the ball and feed him the ball. And the Packers need to do whatever they can to stop it from happening. Double team him if you have to. Do not let Justin Jefferson be the reason why the Packers lose, especially now that Jair opened his big mouth and said something stupid like this. What do you think, Mo?
Well, I agree. I think it certainly puts into question Jair's credibility as just, I don't know, overall intelligence. I'm just saying, I mean, I agree without subtitles, it's really hard to understand what he was saying, but, and maybe it was just a really poor choice of words, but obviously to say it's a fluke is not probably what he wanted to say. And you don't need to add more bulletin board material in a game like this. But I think if it was a fluke, I mean, you could ask, you know, the Patriots or the Jets or the Giants or the Buffalo Bills or only any of the other teams that he did all this to all season long. So, you know, what he probably should have said was, you know, Jefferson really tore us up game one. We're going to try to change that narrative here on Sunday. But that wouldn't make as many headlines saying that, right? So, but it is what it is.
Now, Viking Mo, I will say this for Jair, because it's been said by not by him, but by other guys, by Aaron Rodgers, by Matt LaFleur. They apparently say he has a short memory. So, you know, he doesn't remember, like a couple weeks ago, he doesn't remember getting beat deep twice in the same game and then finally coming up with one interception that he thought made up for the whole terrible game he played. But you know, he also doesn't remember, like, oh wow, Jalen Waddle just ran in front of me and like took off and I didn't do anything, and then I tried to go across the field to cut him off and I totally whiffed on him earning my $42 million contract. No, he doesn't remember. So it could just be, you know, the short memory that they talk about all the time with Jair is what went into play there. I don't know.
It could be an asset and a curse at the same time, I suppose.
I guess, but it also lends you to him. He has a very, and I said this when he came out as a rookie, and I knew it right away, that he thought very highly of himself, which I get athletes have to. They have to have a lot of confidence. Great. But I'm like, this guy's going to, he thinks he's the best. He's going to come in. He played pretty well to start, and then he kind of went up and down a little bit. Packers paid him after an injury season. Like, he was the best corner in the league, because that's what the Packers like to do. They like to think they have all the best players on their team, and they pay them like that. Oh, and now he's not playing like it, but he still thinks he is that guy. So that's where he's coming from, I guess.
Well, it comes down to this. If for some unknown reason, Justin Jefferson gets shut down on Sunday. We will be celebrating Jair's comments and Jair's bravado as Packer fans all over the whole Wisconsin and the nation. Like, I mean, it could possibly happen. You know, like if it does happen, then Jair will be celebrated by us and everybody else. But I find it highly unlikely that a guy who's been torching the league the entire season and ever since he's really gotten into the league is going to somehow have a dud against a bunch of guys who've been letting guys pass all over him all year. That's all I'm saying.
Let's go back to this because we got Watcher had a really good comment early on, a question early on. And I think that's obviously the key. Because in watching these Viking games, like I said, I stomached through the last two, the whole game. I was really impressed with Kirk Cousins. The dude is putting the ball. Like sometimes Jefferson isn't really that open, or some of these guys aren't really that open. He's putting the ball in some great spots. It's out on time. It's in a good place. They make catches, yes, but Cousins is dealing. And the key then, especially because you can't expect them to cover all these guys, is to put pressure on Kirk Cousins. Mo, is that the key to stopping the Vikings passing game, in your opinion?
Oh, absolutely. They're not like, unlike any other offense, really. They get in trouble when they get behind the sticks and the down and distance, and that's one thing that's troubled them is, you know, they get some big runs, but then they also get some stuff runs or negative runs, and they kind of get them into obvious passing situations where people can pin back, and they had some trouble, obviously, even with the Giants, who blitz a lot, but they did okay with that. But if you look at games that really blew up, like the Dallas game, they sacked them like 7 times, and you know, we got offensive line a little healthier, still missing a center, but I think it's with Kirk Cousins, he's done a little better with some pocket presence this season, but he's obviously not going to run away from anybody. He's a true pocket passer. He can, you know, move around and slide and even roll out, but it's not like he's going to run away from you. So if you can put pressure on him and get the ball out sooner than he wants to, that's when, you know, obviously you can get into trouble. I think any quarterback's susceptible to that. But particularly the best part of this offense right now is their passing game. So I think if you can put consistent pressure, especially up the middle, because the tackles have been pretty good, then you got a good chance of getting stops.
So Ben's guy, the Packers made a couple of moves. One we talked about earlier, Bo Melton, my guy's on the team. We're super excited about him joining the Packers. But the other move the Packers made, Ben, was getting rid of Dean Lowry because why?
Well, he got hurt, but more importantly, we can have some pressure off the middle with my guy Wyatt. So, I mean, that's the key. Kirk Cousins, when you get pressure on him, he looks like Tom Brady. And the bad Tom Brady. Like when he just starts chucking up balls. Now, the problem is, one thing about this season is Kirk Cousins has been chucking up balls to Justin Jefferson. Like when he gets pressured, he knows where Jefferson is and he just chucks it. And then Jefferson goes up and makes a great catch, or what, it's like some crazy wild man catch. And that's the part, that's the difference between this season and other seasons with Kirk Cousins. In the past, Kirk Cousins would get blitzed and he would just lose all common sense and just throw it away or get sacked or throw a pick or do something dumb. Now he just is like, forget it. I'm chucking. Where's Jefferson? Chuck it. And he just does that. Plus, the addition of TJ Hockenson has really helped them. He had over 100 yards last week. So now we got that pressure there. We're going to put a little more pressure on Quay Walker and Devondre Campbell to try to shut him down. And we all know that's not good because one of them's a rookie and the other guy has a zero awareness half the time. So I'm a little concerned about that as well.
You know, Devondre Campbell could have been the silent but deadly player. He kind of sat back, didn't do anything for most of the game, made that one pick last week. Anyway, Vikimo, what'd you have there?
Well, I'm just glad you brought up Hockenson because I think the trade for him has really unlocked the offense because it's taken some pressure off of Jefferson because he's really unlocked the middle of the field and kind of running up the seam. And he's kind of been that safety valve as well. And I think he had 12 catches last game or something ridiculous. So he's something where, yeah, there's times where occasionally where, you know, Cousins would just throw it up to Jefferson and hope for the best, but when he's under pressure. But I think he's also has Hockenson now that he's the safety valve that can outlet to when the other routes don't develop. And it's just taken off some of the double teams that Jefferson had been getting basically after week one at this point. So he's really unlocked the offense and kind of almost taken over the role that Thielen has. He's been fighting some injuries and just hasn't been a big part of the game plan because the balls are just going to Hockenson and Jefferson.
Vikimo, we got a little quick time left here, 50 seconds. One quick question for you before we go. I'm not going to ask you who wins this game. We already know the Packers are going to win. So what I'm going to ask you is there's just been this debate. Do the Vikings really want to be the 2 seed and maybe play the Lions or the Packers as the 7 seed? Or would they rather be the 3 seed and just play, you know, the crappy
sneaky Giants?
Yeah, so I heard Ben bring this up at the last show, and it's the most short-sighted, ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Why would You rest players to what? Settle for the 3 seed so that you get an easier first round, and then what? Go to San Francisco in round 2 since they're the 2 seed?
You're going to lose like, when they come to you or you go there. Viking Mo, enjoy your time with your family. We'll have a great New Year's, buddy. Catch you next week.
See you, Mo.
I don't have any clue of what he's talking about.
So, like, we ain't putting too much onus on nobody. He's a really good receiver by the end of the day.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
You done messed up, A.A. Ron!
I'm not done yet. Thank you.
All right, it's the last piece of the Packer Outright Opinion pie coming at you right now. That was our time with Viking Mo. He gave us some time. His family just got back from a trip, so he had to go. But always good to hear from Viking Mo about his Viking stuff. And always good to have Viking chatters here online as well with us, so giving your thoughts. And look, like we said, enjoy the season, 12-3, regardless of the outcome of this game. Ben, Viking Mo apparently thought that was a ridiculous notion. Other people have been saying it. Because you don't want to have to go play San Francisco in the, go to San Francisco to have to play them if they're the 2 seed or whatever. And I don't know. But point is, it's an interesting concept. I mean, at least you get that one win if you're playing the Giants, most likely. It's probably going to be the 6 seed will probably be an easier opponent than the 7 seed is all we were trying to get at. And do you want that, or do you want to try to play another game at home is the question. So it's all about what you think as a fan or whatever, but just be happy your Vikings are there. That's the big thing. Now we were trying to get into, how do we get pressure on Kirk Cousins? Watcher 22 had a thing before. Do we blitz him aggressively, or do you play aggressive, bump coverage? Like what do you think is the best way to get pressure on Captain Kirk?
Well, here's the thing that happened last week against Miami in the second half that did help us is you saw Quay Walker, you saw Rasul Douglas, you saw a couple guys getting jams on Tyreek Hill and Waddle off line of scrimmage, which then disrupted the pattern. It's the same thing. Kirk Cousins is a rhythm passer. Kirk Cousins wants to get the ball, do 1-2-3, get to his back foot, throw to the open guy. That's what he wants to do. If that guy's not there, he freaks out. Now, he's gotten better at that this year, and he's been more patient, and he sticks with it, and he's done a much better job. And also, our blitzes don't always get home. For some reason, we don't have the best blitzers. The only guy who sometimes gets there is Quay Walker because he's fast, but that's about it. He's not really that great at it. So it's weird. I would rather see them, what I would like to see would be Quay Walker get a bump on T.J. Hockenson and then blitz right after. You know what I'm saying? Do both things. Maybe the blitz won't get there as fast, but it'll slow down the route for everybody. And it'll allow you to also look for the run. And the Vikings haven't been running the ball that great this year, even with Dalvin Cook and Madison. So those are things that I think would be good. Just stay tight, be tough with them. Jefferson's not that fast. He's got good agility, and he's a good route runner. But he's kind of skinny, so just beat the snot out of him and get him off the route. And then maybe our guys can get there. And Igbari, Wyatt coming up the middle way faster than anybody else we've got on the defensive line. And now he's going to be playing more because Lowry's out. So it's looking like there's a chance something could happen on the defense to actually disrupt the Vikings a little bit. Plus, it'll be outside, so it's not going to be the fast, quick turf that Jefferson can do great cuts on like they would be in Minnesota. It's going to be, the grass, and it's not going to be as quick, so he won't be able to do all the juke moves he usually would do. So it leaves us a chance, but it's still a very potent offense that can strike at any moment and score a bunch of points. So we can't just sit back and let them do whatever they want like we did the first time. We got to at least get in their face a little bit and be a little tougher with them.
Now, I'm glad you brought up Devontae Wyatt, because to me, he's going to be a key guy in this game. I really think if he can be disruptive, that is going to be a big step in stopping the Vikings offense. And here's an interesting thing. Now, did you hear Matt LaFleur's comments this week? Where they talked to him about how they, had to get rid of Dean Lowry, and that was tough, and da da da. And then they talked to him about Devontae Wyatt. And we were hearing for weeks why we weren't seeing this first round pick on the field. We're, you know, Joe Barry had comments, all this sort of stuff, blah, 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 his technique. But when he was on the field, he played hard. He showed pursuit. You've talked about his speed and pursuit speed that most interior guys do not have. And that's a real factor in a lot of things, and stopping those outside screen passes that so many teams like to do, and stopping runs, and stopping all kinds of things. It's really, really helpful. If you've got a guy from the inside that can move and actually runs hard and plays hard, that can be a huge factor in the game. Now, Matt LaFleur said one thing you really liked about him when every time we've seen him is how much he hustles and how much he pursues. And Matt LaFleur, the head coach, said that. Now, do you think there was finally some, because generally he said, you know, playing time and who's in the game is left up to the position coaches. But do you think Matt LaFleur finally put his foot down and was like, hey, this kid plays hard and pursues and does stuff that nobody else from the interior can do. Get him in the game.
I don't know, because we've also heard him say how he needs to get Aaron Jones the ball more, and Aaron Jones had three touches in the first half against Miami.
Oh, but we got
to
be careful.
We've also heard him say it'd be good to get Christian Watson more involved in the game when he was healthy, and that didn't happen until week 10. So I don't know. I've heard Matt LaFleur say a lot of things, and then when they go out on the field, they do the exact opposite. So I don't trust Matt LaFleur. I don't trust Aaron Rodgers, and that's why I cannot get behind this team 100%, because every time I think that they're starting to get on the right page, I like almost everybody else. Everybody else I like.
This rookie
even
class
Kenny Clark.
Awesome,
Kenny Clark's even come out the last couple weeks and made some plays. Everybody is doing things. Like, they won that game in spite of Aaron Rodgers playing like crap last week. He did. He played like crap, and they won. They had a great – special teams was good. Defense changed up stuff in the second half and played a little more aggressive and a little bit more beat up and smash up the little guys, and it helped. And the offense could have been better if the quarterback would just – not do stupid crap all the time, but he does because he's got to be the superhero. I want a team to root for, not one guy to root for. And that's what bothers me. And I know that there's a lot of Packer fans out there who are new or younger, and all they know is Aaron Rodgers. And that's all they got. And maybe they're not even from Wisconsin, but they love the Packers because they saw Aaron Rodgers make crazy plays.
Be a superhero.
And that's great. And I'm glad that they have that. But for us older guys who have been around for years and years and years, we want a team. We want our Packers back. We want a team to root for. And it's hard for me to root for this team when I don't trust the coach and I don't trust the quarterback. And that's the way I feel right now. So they better show me some stuff this week. Play as a team and listen and have your coach and your quarterback lead as a team and do it together. That's what I want. And they'll win.
Everybody in the comments now, Packer fan 1993, Watcher 22, David, even Mo acknowledges if the Packers run the ball, they got a good chance to win. And Packer fan 1993 says, if the team was a run first offense, we would be pretty darn good. And that's kind of, I think, the part for you and me that's made the season more frustrating than we expected, was because going into this season, Packers talked a lot about 33 and 28, and we're going to feature the run, and we're going to be a run-first team and a defensive team, and then Aaron Rodgers will make a couple of magical plays a game, and we'll win, right? And that's what we wanted to see, and that's what we were all expecting to see, and then what did we see was Aaron Rodgers throwing it twice as much as we're running the ball, and that doesn't equal wins. And the season has played out that way, and they would have lost this last game if they didn't get all those turnovers. I'm just telling you, the drives spoke for themselves. But I am super excited about the young guys on this team. Think about this rookie class. Oh, my God. This group of rookies, and now you got Melton in there as well. You have four rookie wide receivers that could make this team and be impactful for this team for many, many years to come. You got other guys in this team that are making plays. It's exciting. So focus on the good stuff, the young guys. We're almost out of time. We got to go. I say Packers win. Packers beat the Vikings. And go to 8-8. Catch you next week. Packer Outright Opinions. Thank you.